Well, good morning. Welcome to Emmanuel on this summer of Psalms. I love, absolutely love the book of Psalms. And I have a new remote. It's my phone. So we're going to test this out today. See, I can control it, right? Hey, cool. Okay, we'll go back. Got to go one more. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to pray when your world comes crashing down? When the bills pile up, or the medical report is discouraging, or when someone goes out of their way to make your life miserable. We don't need coaxing to prayer. We run to God, we cry out, and we beg for Him to look down at our pain. But what happens when the very God from whom we are begging looks back at us and says, "Now go and love that person that is causing you pain"? So today, the title of the message is, "To Whom Are You Listening?" And this is our Summer of Psalms, looking at the book of Psalms, the entire, but a psalm each week, through the lens or through the eyes of Jesus. So today we're standing at a fascinating intersection between a couple of them. We're looking at the desperate prayer of King David that has been read for us. And we pair it with Matthew 5, where Jesus overlaid it with a radical command that he spoke from the hillside. On the surface, it feels like they belong in completely different universes. David is crying out in intense pressure, and Jesus is telling us to love our enemies. But this morning, and when we fuse these two texts together, we discover a profound truth. We cannot love our enemies in our own strength. We can only do it out of the overflow and the grace and mercy that we are so generously given from God. So let's pray. Bend down, O Lord, and hear our prayer. Answer us, for we need your help. Protect us, for we are devoted to you. Save us, for we serve you and trust you. You are our God. Be merciful to us, O Lord, for we are calling on you constantly. Give us happiness, O Lord, for we give ourselves to you. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask your help. Listen closely to our prayer. Hear our urgent cry. We will call to you whenever we are in trouble, and you will always answer us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's the prayer up there for you, the psalm that we put in the form of prayer, and we will say that at the end together. But you also see Matthew 5:44, where Jesus says, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." So a couple of thoughts this morning. The first is the posture of brokenness. So we look at these verses, they're up there for you in Psalm 86, where David writes, and this is a psalm of David. I don't know where he was when he wrote this. You can imagine the circumstances in David's life. And at some point he said, "Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. You are my God. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am calling on you constantly. Give me happiness, O Lord, for I give myself to you. So just look at this beautiful imagery in verse 1. Bend down. The old version reads, incline thine ear. And that's actually in a song, right? Incline thine ear and give us your peace. It's a beautiful picture of an almighty God or king condescending and coming down. The beautiful image of Jesus being poured out of heaven into humanity, coming to us. So David's saying, bend down, incline your ear to me. It's like a parent kneeling down to a crying child and putting their ear next to the child's whisper. David doesn't come to God pretending he has it all together. He doesn't bring a resume of his royal achievements, all that he's accomplished. He says, answer me, for I need your help. So this morning, what are you crying out to God for? Or for what are you crying out to God today? Brothers and sisters, this is where it all begins. Before we can live out our Christian walk, before we can love anyone else, we must acknowledge our spiritual bankruptcy. We are the ones who need God to bend down to us. We are the ones who need his protection. And as I talk about the posture of brokenness, at the same time, we are the ones who need to bow to God, to humble ourselves and seek him and submit to him and cry out to him and request, as David is doing. He's calling out constantly. He's desperate. And notice what he asks for in verse 4. Give me happiness, for I give myself to you. That's an interesting, sometimes we might say we shouldn't pray for happiness, right? We should pray for patience. We should pray for peace. We should pray for joy. But here in this psalm, David is saying, give me happiness. He knows that true joy isn't going to come from a change of circumstances. It's going to come from the presence of the Lord, and he knows that. So look at these requests that David says, just in these 7 verses. And there's a whole chapter here. We can't cover everything. He says, bend down, hear my prayer, answer me, protect me, save me, be merciful to me, give me happiness, listen closely, and hear my cry. Do you find yourself at times using phrases like this? I know I do. I think my number one cry when I wake up at 3:30 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning, or I think it was this morning, was 5:47. And I didn't want to wake up. So I cry out to God. Lord, hear my cry. Oh, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And of course, I bring the very real things that are happening in my life, those things that are passionate, persistent prayers that I continually cry out to God for healing of that broken relationship, or for the thing that I've done to hurt someone else. And I need to seek forgiveness, to make amends, and to ask so that I can receive forgiveness. Second thought this morning is the character of the comforter. Why does David have the confidence to keep crying out? I love this. 7 times in this chapter, David speaks of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D in our English versions. Now, the one I copied and pasted didn't have it, but this one does. It every time that word Lord is there, it's capitals, it's all caps. And that is our understanding that that is the word Yahweh. It's the word Sachi used in his prayer. this morning. Yahweh, Almighty God, the protector, the provider, the king of the universe, the creator, that whole package deal of a God who is known as Yahweh. I am that I am. So why does he believe that God will actually answer? He tells us in verse 5. Take note of these three things, and I highlighted them. You, God, are so good, right? God is good, right? All the time. Is Moses here? Okay, yeah, he's training us on that, okay? He is good all the time. So ready to forgive, right? God is a patient God. And I find it fascinating that it may take the entire life, my entire life, but he's so ready to forgive when we come to him, when we cry out, when we ask. And then the third one here is so full of unfailing love for all those who ask for help. God is full of love. He's full of compassion. He's full of grace. And all we have to do is turn to him. All we have to do is cry out. So when you are in deep trouble, you don't need just a powerful God. You need a good God. You need a God who isn't begrudgingly looking down at you, but one who is actively ready to forgive. And look at these responses or reasons. I put rationalization. I love this. I love this psalm. David says, I need your help. He's claiming dependence. I need you, God. Every hour I need you. Every moment I need you. I love you. I trust you. I want you. He says, I'm devoted to you, right? Loyalty. I am yours and you are mine. And we'll come to relationship in a minute. But I serve you. I make a commitment today, right now, in this circumstance. No matter what is happening around me, I commit myself to you. I trust you, right? Confidence. There's nothing my God cannot do, right? God is capable of anything, and we have confidence in him. There it is. You are my God. We went through Ephesians. He adopted us as his sons and daughters, brought us out of darkness into light, right? We're in relationship with the Almighty Creator of the universe, this Yahweh, who we know as sending Jesus, his son, to be our Savior. He says, I'm calling on you constantly. Are you passionately persisting in prayer for the things that you're struggling with? I give myself to you, he says. Again, dedication. You are my God, and I will worship you. I will praise you no matter what the circumstances I find myself in. And you are so ready to forgive. I wrote the word atonement, right? Forgiveness, sanctification, healing, restoration. All of these words that you and I need in relationship with God, and he is so ready to give, so full of unfailing love. Just another way of saying he's a God of grace, a God of mercy. I will call on you, right? That persistence again, that trust that you will take care of things in your time as I come into relationship with you, and you will answer me, right? David is confident that God will answer. That may not be the answer you want, right? But you and I can be confident that when we approach God, when we come before his throne and we cry out to him and we let him know of our love and our need, he will answer. So David wraps up this section in verses 6 and 7 by saying, listen closely to my prayer. O Lord, you have heard my urgent cry. I will call on you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me. This is a beautiful, safe, comforting place to anchor your soul. We love the Psalms, right? And like David, we want God to listen closely to us, to give us his unfailing love, and to answer us when we call. But the Bible never allows us just to sit in our bubble of receiving mercy without that mercy changing how we treat the world around us. So we move to what Jesus said, and this is a kingdom perspective, right? David was a king. Even in that day, he had a kingdom perspective, understanding God. And here, centuries later, his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, right, on his mom's side, I don't know how many times removed, enters Jesus. Jesus stands on a mountainside. He looks out at this crowd of people, and they're all under immense pressure. They're living under the brutal regime of the Roman Empire, and he drops this bomb of a command. It's not balm, it's B-O-M-B. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Think about the tension here. In Psalm 86, we're crying out, Lord, protect me, save me, be merciful to me because people are causing me trouble. And Jesus responds, yes, I will. And the moment I pour my mercy and my goodness and my unfailing love into your heart, I want you to turn it around and pour it out upon the very person or people who's persecuting you. How is that even possible? How do we bridge the gap between David's raw cry for help and Jesus' radical call to love? The secret is found in the word pray. Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. When someone hurts us, our natural human instinct, our old sinful nature, right, is to build a wall, plot revenge, or nurse our bitterness. But Jesus says, the antidote to a ruined heart is prayer. But what kind of prayer? If we try to pray for our enemies and our own strength, our prayers will just sound something like this. Lord, fix them. Lord, change them. Lord, show them how wrong they are. But that's not the prayer that Jesus is talking about. Instead, Jesus wants us to take the exact parameters of Psalm 86, the goodness, the readiness to forgive, the unfailing love of God, and start asking God to give that to our enemies. So look at this. When we pray for our enemies through the lens of Psalm 86, our prayers shift something like this. Lord, you bent down to hear my cry when I was broken. Please bend down and meet them in their brokenness too. Wow. Can we pray that for someone who is hurting us? Lord, you were so ready to forgive me of my massive debts. Please grant them a heart of repentance so that they can experience your readiness to forgive too. And Lord, you have filled me with unfailing love when I didn't deserve it. Let them taste that unfailing love so they can stop hurting others. So Jesus concludes his thoughts in Matthew 5 by saying that when we do this, you will be acting as true children of the Father in heaven. Our Heavenly Father doesn't wait for people to become good before he shines his light on them. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike, right? He is so generous and kind in his mercy. So if you are in trouble today, if you're hurting, do what David did. Cry out. Tell God you need his help. Ask him to bend down and listen to your urgent cry. He is good all the time. He's ready to forgive. And he loves you with an unfailing love. But as he fills up your cup with that mercy, don't let it stop there. Let it spill out. Take the very people who have hurt you, offended you, or broken your heart, and bring them to the very throne of grace. You don't have to muster up human emotion of affection for them today, but you can choose the step of obedience. You can pray for them. So our call to action this week: when the world hurts us, we want to retaliate. The world handles enemies with cancellation or retaliation. But we are called to be true children of our Father in heaven. Our call to action today is a radical one. We're going to flip the script on our pain. This week, you're going to encounter people who test your patience, maybe who speak ill of you, or people who are actively working against you. Your flesh is going to want to fight back, or it's going to want to retreat into bitterness. When that moment happens, I want you to stop. Take a deep breath. And remember Psalm 86 and Matthew 5. Your challenge this week is simple, but incredibly difficult. The very next time someone persecutes you or hurts you, you must immediately stop and pray a blessing over them and see how God changes you. Right? And yes, maybe he'll change the relationship, he'll change the other person, but we're not concerned about that, right? We're concerned about our relationship with God, and we're concerned about blessing others, because that is what we are called to do. So don't wait until you feel like it. You'll never feel like it. Do it as a sheer act of bloody-minded obedience to the King Jesus. Let's show our communities what radical, world-changing grace actually looks like. Let's stand together as we pray for the strength to live this out. Let's stand. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Next slide. Let's pray this together. Bend down, O Lord, and hear our prayer. Answer us, for we need your help. Protect us, for we are devoted to you. Save us, for we serve you and trust you. You are our God. Be merciful to us, O Lord, for we are calling on you constantly. Give us happiness, O Lord, for we give ourselves to you. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask your help. Listen closely to our prayer, O Lord. Hear our urgent cry. We will call on you whenever we are in trouble, and you will answer us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.